righty. Welcome. Let's see, I don't think we have both lights on.
Maybe we do. It's hard to tell. I don't know.
And that's incredible.
Nope, there we go.
Supposed to save energy.
That was a solid.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to the final class in our whole life stewardship, managing your life or living your life for God. Next week, we're going to Pastor's Acts class will continue, and the next course that we're going to offer is a survey course of the New Testament. We're going to be looking at the entire New Testament, not reading the whole thing, but understanding the Gospels and Acts and then the letters of the Apostle Paul and Revelation in a period of time that will take us through Christmas. Into the new year. So that class, I believe, will meet here. All right. We have been, for the past weeks, looking at the principles that the Scripture establishes for living your life for God. Pastor today, talking about faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things that are hoped for. And we're tempted by Satan to live our life according to what you see. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, as the saying goes. Our culture even changes another saying. You'll get your pie in the sky by and by. That was a saying that Christians who were having difficult times, especially black Christians in slavery, that's where that comes out of, who said, but don't worry, you'll get your pie in the sky by and by. But we've changed that into don't worry about what's in the future. You better take care of yourself now. You'll get your pie in the sky by and by is an unrealistic way of looking at things. But that's not how it was originally intended. All right. So as we think about the principles of life, of our relationship to the things of our life, we've now last week and this week wanted to try to apply those. And what we're going to do this week is look at the times of our lives. Things change as time goes along. When you're a child, your job is learning. When you're a teenager, your job is transitioning, learning how to move from being a child to being an adult. When you're a young adult, you're worried about getting married, about finding a job, something to do, finishing your education. Young married people are concerned about children, and then that becomes a major focus of life until the children get older and finally leave home, and then retirement years. And there are different things to think about in all those areas. So what we want to do is just on the basis, always trying to think of our principles. What are the principles of our lives? That the Lord is the king of our, who's the king of your life? Who rules? Heaven is my home. That's where I'm headed. You cannot serve God and money. All of these principles that we looked at, we'd like to see how they apply. So, whole life stewardship implies that our relationship to the material blessings the Lord entrusts to us changes as we move from childhood to retirement years. This coming week, and of course it's a worksheet for the past week, we want to apply the biblical principles of stewardship to the stage of life in which we find ourselves, as well as to those stages that lie ahead. But we also need to give consideration to the stages of life that are behind us, because we are called as parents to help our children. So, you know, you could think of yourself as a child, but children aren't going to be taking this class, but people who have children are. Stewardship principles are, because we are called as parents to help our children grow into their God-given roles as stewards. Stewardship principles are not taught to our children in Lutheran elementary school, Sunday school, or confirmation in any effective way if they are not taught by parents to their children. I've taught confirmation class for years and years, and I know that the children who are going to live the principles that they learn in confirmation class are the children who grew up with those principles in the home. And that only rarely will you ever truly reach someone, and it happens because the Word of God is a powerful thing, but only rarely will you reach people who aren't getting it. And some parents, for example, will send their kids to confirmation class. Well, I was confirmed, they need to get confirmed, you know. But the parents aren't going to church with any regularity. The kingdom of God is simply not important to them. It's important, but it's down on the priority list. And we always talk about how we lose the children after confirmation. Mm-hmm. We lose half of them before. We're teaching them, but they're just there. And they've been taught by their parents that you listen to what's being taught politely. The parents will get it. If I call up a parent and say, your kid's got to learn to behave during class, well, then they'll get after them. You've got to behave. But they've already been taught that you listen politely to these things, and then you ignore them. That's what my parents are doing. So no matter what you say, it's blowing in the wind. But don't get carried away with that. The Word of God is a powerful thing, and we have over the years, especially through school, had children whose parents put them in, never followed up at all, but the children took a hold of it and grow up and become our members, and they hang in there. All right. Let's think about the stages of our lives as follows. Childhood, teen years, college and young adult, married with young children, married with older children, empty nesters, and retirement. Below are listed these stages of our lives with some suggested ideas and thought teasers. In the spaces provided, write down the thoughts and questions about your life, past, present, and future, that you would like to talk about or ask in class. So we're going to be sharing, and we need to keep on going because we don't have an opportunity to pick this up, So we'll try to discipline ourselves. All right, childhood, a time of learning. What is the most important way in which children learn? Well, we've been talking about that. Scripture principles are not taught, they are, that saying? They are caught. That's how children learn. They learn from example. Do as I say and not as I do. is an exercise in futility. You have to learn to tell the truth. Phone rings. It's somebody the parent doesn't want to talk to. Tell them I'm not here. That is a teaching moment. And it's going to take you a long time to recover from that. If your child spends, we were at a restaurant last night, I don't know, there was something going on because all the young ladies were in long dresses, and so I don't know, it was homecoming, And I thought to myself, there was one limo out there for homecoming. Jeez. If you spend $500 or more dollars on some high school activity like that, I don't think your children will recover from that for 15 years, if they recover at all. You have said to them that the wrong things are important, and no matter what you say, won't make any difference. People have to learn to have a balance and to resist the forces of their peers. Well, everybody else is going to do this, I'm going to look like a geek. Well, welcome to the club. All right. But children really learn. The older children get, the more they can ignore their parents for good or ill. Sometimes they can learn to go their own way, even though their parents didn't teach them right things. And lots of parents have painfully felt that. They taught their children well, but their children just got too involved in their peers. There are sad situations, four or five kids in the family, and one of them just goes off the deep end. So if you have to live the principles. If you don't live the principles of stewardship, if you're not thinking how the Lord wants, your children are going to learn from you. Yes, Joe.
You have two different families. Your son is learning principles from you and not the other one. How do you combat
that? Yeah, split families. You don't. All you can do is give your example, but remember that the Word of God is powerful. So if a child in a split family is getting poor examples from other situations, he's probably going to have trouble with that, or she. That's a tough thing. But all you can do is then it becomes even more important what you do as opposed to what you say. You know, so that's important. Christmas is an example where the rubber meets the road. I mean, if you give your child $1,000 worth of gifts between yourself and the grandparents at Christmas time, how in the world is that child ever going to believe that Christmas is about the birth of the child? Like the saying, you know, Santa delivers. You know, Jesus is pie in the sky by and by, and that's what you're teaching. You know, that's you can say whatever you want. Why do parents give too much to their children?
buy their love, maybe.
Maybe it could be in certain circumstances, but in a healthy family, I mean, not one that's split where you're trying to deal or something isn't seriously going wrong.
Well, I think it's just that people, they get kind of caught up in the whole thing of the society. It's like, you know, they're doing it, we got to do it. You know, our kids don't want to be left out.
Okay, they might be responding to if your kids are saying to you, you know, everybody else got more than me, and you cave into that. Well, that'll take 15 years to recover from that one, too. That, yes, okay.
Maybe making up for all the Christmas presents you didn't get.
Most people look back when most people who didn't have much when they were growing up always look back and say, "I didn't have very much, and it was terrible." They don't say that. I don't think they're making up. I think they like to buy the gifts and they like to give, and that's the main reason. They're out of control stewardship-wise. They're not running their lives according to the way the Lord wants. Money's there to be enjoyed. And what do you enjoy more than giving things to your children? But, you know, things, you got to restrain yourself. You have to... As a parent, I liked giving gifts, you know, yeah.
Currently, what I see is, like, especially with our kids, we have 7 and a 9-year-old boys, birthday parties, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, the birthday parties are just outrageous nowadays. You know, the kid invites, you know, 10 or 15 of their buddies, and they have a party at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever, and they're just this pile of gifts. I mean, it's like Christmas time. Yeah. Times 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're saying, you're telling kids they are the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And in many families, they are. I grew up, we were my five brothers and sisters, and my folks didn't have a whole lot. They had to scramble to keep things going, you know. So they didn't have any time or energy to make us the center of the universe. But we do. We've got all this money. We've got power and choices. Okay, so certainly the principles, all the principles of stewardship, get yourself under control. You're God's manager, and you have to teach your children what's important. If you tell them that spiritual things are secondary in life, that the most important thing is how well they succeed in life, that's what's really critical. That's one thing. Then you just get carried away. All right, we got to keep on going. Teen years, a time of transition. Learning how to manage your own money, being allowed to spend all your money on wants instead of needs. What about jobs for teens? A good idea, what happens to earnings? There's another place that's completely out of control, generally. Should your child work in high school? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, unless one exception.
Summertime.
Oh, you know. If your child is working with adults, then a job can be a good experience. If your child gets a job with a whole bunch of other 17-year-olds, get something for him to do that's worthwhile. For a group of 20, 15-year-olds to spend 5 days a week for 9 months a year together, that is pooled ignorance. You got to have a teacher to keep that under control. I don't know. I can't give the experience of girls, but boys, 15-year-old boys, I mean, hello. And so now the kid goes to school all day long, and then on the weekends he's working at McDonald's. But they make you work at McDonald's. Sure they do. But the manager's 21 years old, and in the off times he's regaling everybody with the latest things that are going on in his life. Whoa, that's really wonderful. Parents, don't let go of your children. The world out there is not a friendly place, and the world is not going to train them how to do well. Years ago, teenage children were with their families, and we did better. Why did we do better years ago? Now, everything wasn't wonderful years ago, but they were better. Well, for a whole lot of reasons, and you have to sit down and analyze this and say, why, you know, what do I want to do? I mean, I'm being strong here, go over the top. Absolutely not, you know. But you got to think about it. Yes?
The problem with the children working, 15, 17-year-old kids in high school working, invariably that's going to come up. You have to work on Sunday?
Well, I can sure.
And that, they will tell you, I have to work Sunday.
Yeah, now I can't go to church.
Now you've got conflict.
Great. Yeah. Okay, that's just one of the problems.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
A possible exception to the rule is, depending on the situation, having the kids work in the family business.
That's working with adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working with adults can be a very helpful experience. I think that a kid where there's one kid in the place, everybody else is an adult, he's the gopher, you know, and there's somebody to make certain you go, that's a good experience. But working with a bunch of 16-year-olds, what is that? You know, or what about earnings?
That's a good point, because my daughter, she worked with my wife for two days, she did some filing. And so as soon as she got her first paycheck, what is every kid going to say? That's mine, that's all mine. And then I hear parents, they just relent. And I said, no, we're going to show you how to take care of your finances.
So what did you do?
Well, my wife, she deposited a check, and so I said, hey, you know, you're going to have to pay tithe on this, and you have to start them on that, because at the beginning, they don't want to do that.
No.
You know, but people seem to think that, oh, their kids, just because of your exampleship, they're going to go and follow through and they're going to save money, but they think it's all their money.
Well,
that's the wrong context.
Yeah, right. But that's what we believe. They're watching you earn money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's your money. Teenagers see adults as having great freedom, don't they? Boy, when I grow up and I've got a car and I can go wherever I want, didn't you think that? Whenever I want, even younger, when I have a bicycle, I can go nowadays. Parents don't want to let kids go anywhere. I mean, I used to get on my bike at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning with my friends and come back at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't have a clue where I was, you know, and didn't worry about it, because every other adult, hey, you kids, what are you doing? You know, nobody does that anymore. Things are different. But in the past, the common practice of ordinary parents was, you got a job, okay, you open a savings account. Two names, mom or dad, and the child's. You know, there's no getting money out of there on your own. Now, it's your money. I think if a child earns, unless the family is in difficulty, and everybody has to pitch in, that could be a situation. That's a possible situation. But that's not normal these days. That's the child's money. And it gets put in the savings, and then you and that child figure out how they're going to spend that money. I mean, that's called teaching. Giving the child the money, think about what that teaches. That says somebody else will provide the house, health insurance, transportation, education, insurance, food, clothing, and you take the money you earn and you go out and have a ball. Well, how is that person going to transition into being an adult? I'll tell you how they will. They'll graduate from college, and they got to have whatever they want. You have to get it. Well, there isn't quite enough money, but we got a card. So we buy all this stuff, and all of a sudden, we're deep in debt, and we got to make the house payment, and everything is in real trouble. Well, how did that happen? Their parents taught them. Yes.
One thing that we're doing right now that's just kind of a fun thing, we're just having the boys, they're recycling cans. They went around the neighborhood and they just gave all of our neighbors, little 5 cent, you know, their aluminum can recycling thing. And people ask us, you know, what are they going to use it for? The kids are just saving the money for other things that they can do. Mm-hmm. They've just taken the money that they've received from that, you know, and basically put it into a savings account. Now, I remember when we first started, it was like, the boys were like, well, what are we saving it for? So we told them, it's like we're saving it for things that we can do later on that we decide is going to be appropriate. Like, you know, during the summer.
Yeah, like we.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there were family activities, like going to a special water park or...
Well, I'm not even thinking of the activities together. We'll decide later on. Yeah, right. I think that's important.
Yeah, and that was minus, you know, this is your offering for church, too.
So those guys have been using it like that, and it's worked out really
well. That is teaching stewardship, and teaching children that you don't just simply take whatever you have and spend it on whatever you want, because one of the principles that we looked at was distinguishing between wants and needs. Yes, okay, Joe?
Similar kind of thing with our son. He got some money at Christmas time, and he wanted to spend some, so we said, now, you know, you give some to the church, and you put some away in your savings. And we did a calculation and said, okay, you have X number of dollars to spend. So we took him over to the mall and said, okay, the choice is yours as to what you're going to buy once we see what you're looking at. So he wanted to get a plaque with one of the NBA players on it. And he looked for probably 2 hours. And he said, this is very difficult how to spend my money. And I said, okay, don't forget about tax. He goes, what's that? The price of that item is not what you see. They're going to add tax to it. So you have to make sure you have enough cash.
I just rented a car. We're going to Las Vegas for a conference. And, we can rent this car for 3 days on Priceline for $60. But it's $113 when you're done because of all the fees. You have to, that's just learning things. So I see those are all learning experiences, aren't they? And with teens and college students, what's the biggest problem with college students? And we may have different opinions. I have one particular opinion, yeah.
Student cards.
Use of credit cards, you know, yeah, all right. Learning how, yes?
So student loans.
Oh, yes, okay. That's a challenge that you have to reach, right? Right, any other things?
Most of them now, because like our family's business was in Davis, so most college kids don't know how to cook. They don't know how to take care of themselves, meaning they don't know how to clean,
except by
take
spending
care of the bathroom,
right,
and all that.
Right.
And so, basically, you know, when they shop, they usually go to the frozen food aisle. So they're lucky they can know how to use a microwave. But beyond that, so then they spend a lot of money on prepared foods and just wasted stuff. And they waste a lot of their parents' money, and the parents don't really know because they're away from home now.
Okay, we're concentrating on what's very important. That is how you spend your money. I think that there's an overall question. When children get older, they need to live their lives according to their parents' standards. And if you don't want to live your life according to your parents' standards, then you're free to go out there and do whatever you want because you're of age. See? But if you, as a parent, fund stupidity, then you are responsible. And parents simply, I can tell you, I've talked to people over and over again, they simply can't bring, they're very unhappy that their child, maybe the child's gone off to college, they're living together with somebody. What? You know, no, you're not living with somebody. Well, yes, I am. Well, I hope you can afford it. Good luck. Yeah.
I was going to say one other thing. I was in a fraternity. I was a president of a fraternity in Wisconsin, and I cannot tell you how many times at school freshmen would be given by their parents a credit card when they send them off to school and say, use this only in an emergency. And these kids would go, I got this credit card. And I can, and they would just run up a bill like you wouldn't believe. And the parents would be writing them saying, stop using the credit card. But they gave them this credit card. And
stop using the credit card?
Yeah.
That is pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, that, yeah, I mean, you just...
Well,
my father's favorite statement.
Yeah, they're
if you do that, life as you know it is going to come to an end. You know? That's it.
There's a limit on there.
We need parents. We need some spine transfer,
yeah.
You know, transplant. We have developed this idea that we just can't resist our kids. And if you do that, and that didn't happen in college, that's something that worked out. Kids need to understand that dad is there and he really will help me in every way. And I mean, when I say dad and mom will help. But that's it, you know. And it's their money, their responsibility. If you are spending money to finance your child's stupidity, what does the Lord think of that? That is improper. And so there needs to be people who say, if you want to do that, and you say, and the kid says, well, I'm 18, and you know, I can do whatever I want. You absolutely can. So, you know, find yourself a place. You got 2 weeks. And, you know, the car's mine. I'm selling it. There's no insurance. So you got to worry about health insurance. And so if something goes wrong, you'll just have to go to emergency and get picked up by Medicaid because I'm not going to pay it. And if you're not willing to say that, but a kid should understand that. I mean, that, if you get to that point, you may need to do that, but they should have figured out, you know, you live your life and there's a line. It always goes ahead of you. It's invisible, you know. And you get into certain situations and you say, ooh, I don't think I'm going to go there. You know, you need to grow up with that. And you need to give that to children. You know, that says, so if they're with a group of kids, you know, boys, you know, well, let's go and do something stupid, you know. Well, some things that are stupid are just stupid and they're harmless and, you know, life is, that's the way it is. But a kid needs to have a sense in his head that says, I don't think I'm going there. You know, so you guys go. I'm going to head home. You know, you have to build that in, and then these are people who grow up and they've got life figured out. You know what's happening on college campuses? It's just a big article in news. They have to have vastly increased psychological treatment departments. You know. Because the kids are depressed and they got all this kind of suicide and things are going on. Why? They can't handle problems. They can't handle problems. Why? Because when they were growing up, their parents handled all the problems.
So one thing I've started doing with my kids is trying to teach them about the consequences, right?
And yes.
Say, consequences, you know, if you do the wrong thing or make the wrong choice, it hurts.
Right.
In lots of ways. You know, your life can change. You know, it could be a financial hardship. So I'm going to make it hurt for you because I want you to know you made the wrong choice. So I always try to emphasize that, you know, your choices will make a difference. So you can make the right choice or the wrong choice.
What would you do if you went in your child's bedroom? By the way, the whole concept that this is my room. if you think that and you teach your children that, you have abdicated your responsibility. So you go into your child's room and you find meth. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
How old are they?
Well, probably 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. What do you do? This is a test.
Call the police.
Call the police. Because that's just what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How could you do that to your child? How could you not do that? There are consequences. Whatever you do short of that is going to teach that child that he can get away mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah.
If the police show up, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened. And better yet that you catch him with the marijuana first, because that...
There's a further problem than that. I'm just doing some volunteer work for the sheriff's, mm-hmm. and a lady came in and said, I want you to come and get my daughter. And they said, well, has she hurt anybody? No. Well, we can't do anything about it.
Well, what did she do?
She pushed your mother and just took her purse, took her car, went in through the back window of her car, drove off with it.
Oh,
and she came into the sheriff's office.
What can you do if the police want?
That sounds like something the police could do something about, frankly.
Yeah.
That's a little bit odd. That's an assault, and she stole. That's theft as well.
That's what they could do.
Well, I think that oftentimes police are trying to head off problems, and they're trying to think, well, you know, can't you get this settled short of us doing something? Yeah, I think, though, you could insist. Hey, if a stranger came in, took my purse and my car, you'd be on this. I'm telling you that it was absolutely wrong. But you see, let's not get... I'd rather work back from that situation where children understand, you know, dope? No, that's on the other side of the line, man. Life as I know it is going to come to an end. I'm not doing that, you know. And if you don't teach them that, yeah.
I think, too, when they're, like, in junior high age or getting there, teenagers like to close their door all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk on their telephone or whatever. You got to make rules about everything, about telephone use, when they get off the telephone, how long they can talk. So my daughter would say, well, hey, I'm just going to go in my room and shut the door. I said, that door, I don't want it shut. Well, but of course, they're going to close it when you're not paying any attention. So I'll just say, hey, we'll take that door off.
There's always a solution, isn't it?
And if you have been raising your kids where you look them in the eye and they know that you're mean business, you'll take that door off.
And it doesn't make any difference whether you're being reasonable or not. Who's defining reasonable here? If you're out of control, that will be a pattern in your life. If you as a parent are out of control, somebody's going to come down on you. But short of that, the argument that, it's a matter of opinion, you know, you can't get into that argument. Because I'm the mommy, that's why it starts out when you're five. You don't say 14 times why something happened. Yes?
I wonder if we're missing the point here. If these are talking to Christian children?
Sure.
Or those who are not Christian?
Well, we're talking about Christian children, but Christian parents are tempted not to apply the stewardship principles that we have been studying for these past 6 weeks. Yeah.
They should honor and respect their parents. And always refer back to it's God's will and God's way and not always yours, because perhaps then they might have a different outlook. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think absolutely. But whether it's religiously or not, do not negotiate with your children. That they are children. Honor is something that you demand. You know? And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Parents make mistakes too. And you can just say, well, I shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. But we're still going on this path. Yes?
Well, you have to hold two things. You have to hold your children accountable. You can't tell them one time you're supposed to honor your parents, and that, you know, I say it once and you're supposed to do that for the next 18 years.
Right.
You know, that you need to hold them up to that standard. And the other thing I was
thinking, and you need to keep the standard. You have to set the standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I live my life with those stewardship principles.
Oh, Linus.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a quick thing that I read in James Dobson's book about bringing up boys. He talked about not putting television sets or computers in your children's room because of the awful stuff that's there. And, you know, like you said, they shut their door and you don't know what's going on.
No, yeah. Okay, Carl?
Yes. No, I was just going to comment about teenagers, college-age students these days. You know, I've seen several articles on this that kids these days do not know how to make decisions. That they rely very heavily on their parents to make decisions. So they're off on college supposedly on their own. They have to have the parent there to help them find an apartment. They have to have a parent there to buy a car. Even after they graduated college, they need to check back with their parents before they'll accept a job. They have not learned how to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm just watching my own family and people I work with. And what I just said is absolutely true. I've never seen so much stupidity on early teen, you know, as a group, ever.
And Christian parents can't accept that. You know, not going to happen. Okay, we need to keep on going. We could go on forever. All right, young adult, out on your own, college, first real job, being allowed to spend your money on wants instead of needs. We've been talking about that. I mean, that's just an extension from high school years into college. Resisting the pull of culture. How do you teach people who are your children? It's your responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you haven't helped them to resist the way it is. You know, well, everybody does this, you know. The desire to have everything right away, and he who pays the piper calls the tune. He who pays the piper calls the tune is the reference to that lifestyle is not going on my dollar. You know, because that's a true statement. Who pays the piper calls the tune, yes.
It's actually because of this one that I disagree with you about whether teenagers should work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've...
Well, you think working at McDonald's is a good thing? I don't have a... I work as a teenager.
I always made fun of my friends that worked at McDonald's.
You what?
I always made fun of my friends who worked at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Any fast food.
Yeah.
But that was just me.
Well, I'm not against working. I think that if you work with adults, it's a very powerful, good experience.
So
but if you're working with fellow teenagers, I think you need to take three hard looks at that situation.
In my high school job, I pretty much was working by myself.
Yeah.
But just looking at my friends going through college, those who did not work in high school were lousy managers of money when they were in college. They could not handle it. And I don't know who told me this or where I learned it, but when I was in college, living on my own, I mean, my dad helped, he paid for my schooling, gave me $200 a month for rent. But I had a very simple plan that if I did not have the money, I would not buy something. Or if I could not pay for it, because I had a credit card, if I could not pay off the credit card at the end of the month, I would not buy it. And that's a principle I always live by. To this day, I live by that.
Sure. Okay. But that's stewardship. You were taught basic stewardship, even if you're not Christian. Now, we talk about being a Christian and learning how to make the right things priorities. I don't think there's any rules. What I want to do is have people avoid, wow, my child went out and got a job. Isn't that great? Well, maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. Then you ought to be looking real hard. What does he do with what he earns, or she, and all of these questions. There's no rule that's right or wrong. That's what I said. You know, I just said absolutely not because I want to... you know, make you think, not just assume certain things. All right, I'm going to move on because I think the young adult thing we covered really when we were talking about teens. Married with children. Teaching children that they are not the center of the universe. I think that this is a serious problem today. We have wealth that is unprecedented. Very few people who are ordinary working stiffs, I mean, just people who make a living in the past, had the kind of resources that people have today. Our standard of living has risen dramatically. That means that teaching children to have their head on straight has become a more difficult job. I mean, if you grew up with four other brothers and five sisters on the farm, you learned how to you grew up because you were needed. Children aren't needed today. And so you don't automatically get these good things that happen because you had to get out there and milk the cows at 5 o'clock in the morning. Boy, that'll
wake you up.
You know, and Christmas Day, the stupid cows have got to be milked. You know, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard dairy farming is really demanding, but regardless, children, many children in past times grew up in a situation that almost automatically helped things. You didn't have the culture war. Parents today have a culture war. They've got, I mean, you can't change it. That's the way it is. You have to deal with it, and you have to figure out how you're going to handle the rich blessings that the Lord has given you. And if you haven't figured out how to handle them yourself, how are you going to teach your children and grandchildren? Yes.
I guess this kind of goes back a little bit here, but I'm just going to say it anyways. I mean, the third kids, when we're watching TV, we kind of play the game with them. It's like, okay, see these commercials? What are they selling, boys? What's this commercial trying to get you to do? And we just play a game with it. We say, what are they trying to get you to do? And after a while, they didn't get it at first, but now they're like going, well, they want us to buy their toys. Why? Because they want to make money. Yeah. Whether you need it or not, right? They're like, yeah. Or, you know, like with cereals or all the different stuff, because, you know, Saturday morning stuff, they get to watch like 1 hour and that's it. And it's just, you can't believe how many things pop in front of their face.
Oh, yeah. So well, like, wait till they get older and start responding to the commercials where you can't even figure out what they're selling. And what they're selling is a lifestyle,
uh-huh.
A culture, a yep. way of looking at things. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, Joe?
It takes a long time to for me to teach Patrick that the TV is not telling him the truth. That's uh-huh. an automatic yeah. assumption that yeah. children make, that the TV truth. Would never lie to them.
Yeah.
It took okay. about a good year and a half to 2 years to get him right. to understand that's not true.
Yeah. If you ever have known anyone who was involved in a news story, you will find out that the TV and the newspapers never get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you also learn how difficult it is to ever really understand the situation. And so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Now the kids are going to be more and more influenced by the internet, where anybody, any idiot can get on. All you need is a few bucks and a server, and you can make your own site and, you know, but that'll sort itself out too. But these are the challenges, and the biggest one is the culture no longer supports Christian principles. 100 years ago, the culture supported Christian principles. It does not today. And so if you're a child of God, you're going to have to set the standards for your children. And those need to be standards based on the gospel. There's discipline. We've been talking about the law, you know, and life as you know it is going to come to an end. That's the law. Children need the law. But that doesn't, you're not going to motivate children to do the right thing by threatening them. You need to love them. And loving them means to give them what they really need. And so you have to have that. You can't give what you don't have. So we're right back to understanding what's the most important thing in my life. Jesus, without any hesitation, says, I am. God is the most important thing. Not high up there. The most important thing. And everything else is determined. But many people live their lives, I have this job, and everything else fits in underneath that. Or I have these children, and everything else fits under that. Or I'm on this soccer team, and everything else fits under that. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If you don't, as a child of God, Christ died for you. What are your children going to do for you when you die? Shortly beforehand, they'll get you in a nursing home. We need the Lord, and we need the Lord, and we need to share with our children that that's the most important thing, eternity. God wants us to be with Him forever. Nothing else matters, everything else fits underneath that. There's a place for every gift from God, work, recreation. There's a place for everything, but if you don't have your priorities right, then, you know, there you are. So, think of all the people who look back on their lives and regret all the time they spent with their families and their children instead of at work making more money. Those are just examples of what of priorities. Now, spending time with your children doesn't mean making the children the center of your life. Instead, it says, my children are important. They have to learn these things. They're God's gift to me for a short time. And so I need to spend time with them, not money on them, that they don't need. But I need to teach them, I need to do these things. If I make them, Jesus said it, didn't he? He who loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If the family is forcing you to do things that are not right, so your parents above you, or if your children become the center, all of these things, it's all basically one principle. The kingdom of God is the most important thing. But it's hard to get my fingers off of it. You know, All right, how are we doing? Empty nesters, time for me. At the height of one's earning power, encouraging children to take responsibility for themselves. More time available, how will you use it? The time in your life when experience is combined with good health and energy. Do you realize how important every part of your life is important in its own way? It's not that one is more important than the other. But think of people who think their life is over when their children leave. Something was wrong, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See, they didn't. Now there's a certain, you know, feeling that you have when the kids move out. Every day you had to do this and you had to do that, and all of a sudden they're married, and that's a natural feeling. But somebody who spins out of control because the children aren't there, that was a problem. But think about it. So we talked about children learning, teens learning how to grow up, young adults starting their lives, setting patterns. We didn't talk about that. When you get married, when you get a job, you're setting the patterns, you know, and it's really important to have your head on straight during that time. Raising children, you got to take care of those kids. You have to teach them so that they'll be in eternity. But now you get to empty nesters. And now you're at the time in your life when you have lots of energy, God willing, that you have, your health is all right. And you got some experience in your life. What is that time of your life for? Cancun. Yeah.
Well, for following that principle, the kingdom of God is the most important thing. That's when we have more chance to work with that.
St. Mark's is going to depend on those people, so is every other congregation.
Mm-hmm.
The people who have the energy and the experience who can lead. And who are stewardship wise, who are at the height of their earning power, and who are determining what they're going to do with what the Lord has given them. You see, up to the time that your children are in high school, your priorities are pretty set out for you. Let's assume you got some sense, okay? We're not trying to get you to grow up. So you have to take care of your family. You've got to provide insurance. You know, you have to do all the things that are necessary. And you have to save because they want to go to college and you have to retire and you've got to balance that. But everything is sort of decided for you. But all of a sudden you reach a point in your life, and I'm talking about the normal circumstance. Sometimes people are... I always think of Hal and Audris. You know Hal and Audris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got David. Throughout all of their life, they have to worry about David. That's a different situation. But most of us, we raise our children and they're on their own. you know, put your wallet away. because you taught them, they've learned how to handle themselves, they have an education, and they're on their own, and they're doing their thing. All right, now you're at the height of your earning power, you're risen within the company or whatever your situation is, and you've got some seniority and experience, and the Lord is blessing you. See, I want to say from a stewardship point of view, the kingdom of God is the most important thing. You have to take care of your responsibilities, the responsibilities that the Lord gives you. They come from the Lord. The widow in the temple, the poor widow who gave away everything that she had, didn't have a responsibility other than herself. So she gave everything she had. Wow. You know, but that's not an example for someone with three children. You know, but it is. It is an example. It's an example that the kingdom of God is the most important thing. And everything else in your life fits underneath. But as those things underneath disappear, because they're no longer your responsibility, then the kingdom of God becomes more important. My dad was a wonderful example. I used to go when I was pastor in Michigan. They lived in Arizona, so we would get to see them. They would come 1 year, we'd go out there the next year. When my dad, part of that time he was working, and part of that time he was retired, still had the energy and so forth. But whether he was working, when I was out there, we would go out and spend all of our time vacation at one crack because he wanted the time together and see anybody, you know, take the kids out and all that kind of stuff. And they see the kids and so forth. So I'd be out there 2 weeks, at a crack. And my dad would take off and he'd be going down in church. You know, well, you want to come? Well, sure. You know, so off we'd go and he'd be doing something that was some responsibility. My dad didn't make it through eighth grade, so he wasn't, he was the kind of guy who, he was smart, but he didn't have much book learning. And he learned it during his life, but he liked to do physical things, you know. So I would go with him, and especially after they retired, even before that time, we'd be walking around church and he would say, well, we had a problem with this, but we got it taken care of. Well, I knew what that meant. He and Mom bought that, whatever it was, you know. And he got a great deal of joy out of that. And I have five brothers and sisters. I don't know what my mother has left, but I can't imagine any of my brothers and sisters waiting around to see what's going to be left when Mom is gone. She's 85 and she's doing great. You know, she romps around and so forth. We have to learn. God gave it to you. I think if you simply think to yourself, well, whatever I've accumulated, I'm going to give to my kids. What is that? What is that? What the Lord wants you to do with it? You know, if the children are in need, then they're your children, and you have to take care of them. You know, but if they're not, then what are you doing? Yes.
I just want to make a comment. Yeah. In regard to all wealth, because some people are going to get to retirement age and there is no wealth. But Scripture says, "Be wise of your time, your talents, and your treasures." So all three together.
Right.
So you serve the Lord whichever way, and the main thing is to serve the Lord.
That's right.
Regardless if you have money or not, but you might have given lots of.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Father, no education, but he's
right. Well, our concentration here has been on not time and talent, but on treasure specifically. But you're absolutely right. You don't have to have a lot of money to serve in the Lord's kingdom. That's ridiculous. There's all kinds of ways to serve. And one of the things we learn in life is that the first will be last. And who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? It's he who is least, who is seen as the servant of the others. You know, that's... that was my task, to take care of other people. It's sad, you see people, I won't get into that. Okay. But that's an important thing. So, golden years, we're almost out of time here. Being of sound mind and spiritually mature, I arrange to spend it all. Heaven is my home. Which kingdom do you hang on? The one slipping away from you or the one that's coming?
Now, of course, we have to take care of ourselves, don't we? And you have to plan and you have to save. And it's a challenging world out there. I mean, this isn't a financial or management class, but you need to take care of yourself and not act irresponsibly, spend everything you've got, and then hope that the government will take care of you when you're old. But on the other hand, it would be a perfect arrangement, wouldn't it be, if God gave you the blessing that you were able to have what you needed until you died, but you were able to spend it all and do something worthwhile with it. Because the kingdom of God was the most important thing in my life. And I think that's what our goal to learn is, to learn that. So, comment or question as we get to an end here. We got a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir.
One difficult thing is where you have parents who raise children with the same principles and the results aren't the same. They don't come out the same. You think you're doing it with all your children, however many you have.
And you will inevitably be asking yourself, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
But, you know, if none of us are perfect, if we live our lives, we do the best that we can, then everybody's responsible for themselves. They grow up and they're going to do what they're going to do, and that's a difficult thing. But it's really sad to have a situation where you have to look back and say, my children are doing exactly what I taught them to do, and it's a disaster. If they're doing what you didn't teach them to do, well, then it's a sadness. That's a good point. Right? Okay, well, it's that time. So enjoy the class.